The first reading is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. The righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did not show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by that law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This past week, Vicar Misty and I went to a conference with all of the rostered leaders of the ELCA in the Nebraska Synod. So all of the pastors and deacons and PMAs and vicars all gathered together for learning and reflection. And the first day of our conference was rough for me. First of all, I was really sad missing Pastor Jim, because we always went together and we always had so much fun at these conferences, so I was already sad. And then there was just this heaviness in the room. I've been going to this same conference every year for 17 or 18 years now, but the energy of this post-pandemic conference was completely different. People were tired and worn down and burned out, maybe. And my empathy was just overloaded with this heaviness. But thankfully, the theme for this year's conference was reformation, because you love a church pun, right? Reformation Week, so it was reformation. And there was conversation around leadership and reformation of congregations and the church, but there was also this focus on the reformation and renewal of individuals. I think that the people putting the assembly together, the conference together, knew that there was this need for that in the church leadership. And so there was time set aside for listening and supporting one another, and for talking about, thinking about, and even practicing self-care. One of those conversations that I found really helpful started with the very simple reminder that we are all going through stuff, which is so obvious, right? And it's always been true. But our keynote speaker, Deacon Peggy Hall, emphasized the fact that this is especially true right now. From traumatic global events like the attack on Ukraine by Russia, a devastating global pandemic, or the armed attack of our own nation's capital, to the more personal loss and grief of living during this pandemic, broken relationships caused by disagreements over vaccination and masking, missing out on major life events like weddings and funerals, holidays and birthday celebrations, or even just the isolation and fear that COVID brought into our lives. All of this, this global stuff and personal stuff, all of this is on top of the normal crises of life, because those things keep happening too, right? Illness and relationship struggles and addiction and grief and depression and all of the types of personal tragedies that life brings with it. So, yeah, we are all going through stuff. In our gospel reading, Jesus is talking about freedom to a group of people who don't seem to think that they need to be set free. John's audience included a variety of people, some Jewish, some Gentile, some Samaritan, and they didn't necessarily have a strong association with the earlier enslavement of Israel. And so they seem confused and even a little offended by this idea that they would need to be set free, which is similar, I think, to how a group of Americans might not easily relate to this need to be set free, because we live in a country that prides itself on its freedom. But the truth of our human experience is that we are not as free as we think we are. We are, in fact, held hostage by so many different forces in our lives. Forces that the church has traditionally grouped under the umbrella term sin. All the ways that we're broken, all the ways that the world is broken, all the forces of suffering in our world. Martin Luther taught that there were two different functions of God's law in Scripture, and that the most important one was to make us aware of our need, to make us aware that we are not as free as we think we are. And that's what we hear in our second reading today and in our gospel, this idea that we are all sinners. Not as a message to browbeat us, but simply to make us aware of those forces in our lives, to make us aware of the fact that we need to be set free, that we have fallen into the ocean, right? That we need help. Because we are all in bondage to sin, as that old Lutheran confession used to say. We are all in need of God's mercy. And that is a message that we still need to hear more than 500 years after the Reformation, because like I said, we are all going through stuff. We are bogged down, weighed down by so much. All of the world and life events that I mentioned, and also by social structures that entrap us, like consumerism that trains us to buy new and bigger and better and more and more and more. Perfectionism and overperforming. A need to feel important. A need to feel needed. Internal pressure to be perfect or to appear perfect. To be perfect in our jobs or in our relationships, to make a perfect home or present the perfect family, pressure to give your kids every possible experience, pressure that we find in comparing ourselves to unreal depictions of others on social media, pressure to right all the wrongs of the world. Like the Pharisee in last week's parable, not all of our sinfulness is doing bad things. Sometimes it's simply a subtle shift from sharing God's love to trying to earn God's love. So often, all this pressure that we put on ourselves is driven by a desire to make ourselves good enough, valuable enough, important enough, or whatever enough. We may not even realize that deep down we are trying to make ourselves lovable or worthy of love. But the good news is that we are set free from all of that, from trying to make ourselves good enough. We can take that right off of our to-do list. We can take that burden off of our shoulders and lay it down. You are free from all of that because God has done it for you. We talk a lot at Holy Cross about what it is we are called to do as followers of Jesus. But today, I want to tell you that if you are overwhelmed, overloaded, or worn down, you can stop and rest. Our psalm today reminds us that God is a place where we can go and rest. A place where we can take refuge. We are reminded that God has strength that we can lean on when we don't have enough of our own. Because even all of that good stuff, that caring for our neighbor's stuff that we are called to do together, that is not just another ladder to climb. It's not just a different list of what we need to do to make God love us. The good news is that there is no ladder. There is nothing at all that you need to do in order for God to love you. The good news is that you are already loved. You don't have to do anything to earn that. Right now, in this moment, God has made you enough. God has made you enough just as you are. Set free from all of the forces in the world and in yourself that tell you that you aren't good enough or worthy enough or that you haven't done enough. You are set free from all of your efforts to prove yourself or make yourself acceptable. This is the amazingly good news of God's grace. It is not anything that you can earn, but it is something that has been given to you. It is not anything that you can do, but something that has been done for you. By the gift of God's amazing grace, you are already enough. You are already valued. You are already loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.